If you would like to follow along in the text, we'll be reading and studying from the book of Joshua, the second chapter in just a few minutes, Joshua chapter 2. And I might just take this moment to encourage our members, if you have not picked up a reading schedule for the month of March, it's not too late. And for the month of March, we are reading through, encouraging you to read through the book of Joshua. And you probably, if you've been reading, come to the second chapter. I'd like to thank you for being here. We're very honored. We have a number of guests today, and we are very pleased to have you. Appreciate your presence with us, and you're encouraging to us. And I trust that our worship to God has been, most of all, focused upon Him and has been pleasing to Him. We find a couple of New Testament passages that have a couple of things in common. The first one is found in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11 and verse 31. Where the Hebrew writer says, "By faith the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace." The other passage is in the book of James, the second chapter. In James chapter 2 and verse 25, "Likewise was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way?" There are at least two things that these passages have in common. Number one, they speak of the principle of salvation and justification by faith. But they also have something else in common in that they use Rahab, the one that is mentioned in Joshua, the second chapter, as the character or example of salvation or justification by faith. Most of us remember that Rahab was living in the city of Jericho. And we find her in the predicament in the middle of a city of wickedness and rebellion that had rebelled against God. And this city was going to receive judgment from God when the Israelites would come and to conquer the city of Jericho. And in the sixth chapter of Joshua, the 17th verse, you recall on the seventh day that Joshua made this statement before the walls of Jericho fell. "Now the city will be doomed by the Lord to destruction, it and all who are in it. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all who are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent." The second chapter of Joshua, where we find the story of this wonderful and interesting Old Testament character. But we also find that there is something common that has in common with us, in that we also live in a world of wickedness. We suffer in a world of corruption and sin. But we also live in a world that one day will be judged by God, just as the city of Jericho was judged by God. Peter makes this observation. "The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up." But I would suggest to you that while we are in a similar predicament like Rahab, like this harlot, we too can be saved. And like there was hope for her, there is also hope for us. Now, the story of Rahab is found in the second chapter of Joshua. And you recall that they had entered the land of Canaan, and they were going to conquer the land of Canaan. And Jericho was the first and perhaps most notable city of all the ones that they conquered. Everybody remembers the story of the fall of Jericho. And her story begins in Joshua, the second chapter, when a couple of spies had actually come into the city, and word had been received that some strangers had come to the city and they were lodging with Rahab. And so the king sent certain men to her house to find them, and she hid them on the roof. And she instructed the king's men that the two strangers had already escaped. They were already out of the city. And she made a covenant with these two spies from Israel. I begin reading in Joshua, the second chapter, in the 8th verse. It says, "Now before they lay down, she came up to them on the roof and said to the men, 'I know that the Lord has given you the land, that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you.
For you have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea. For when you came out of it, came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. Now therefore I beg you, swear to me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that you will also show kindness to my father's house and give me a true token. And spare my father, my mother, my brothers, my sister, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. So the men answered her, Our lives for yours, if none of you tell this business of ours, and it shall be that when the Lord has given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with you. Well, the story is that Rahab was delivered, and we read it in the 6th chapter, the 17th verse. In fact, it's interesting that this woman is also mentioned in the genealogy of Jesus. In the book of Matthew, the 1st chapter, she is one of 3 women that are mentioned by name. And I paraphrase Matthew's account that Salmon had Boaz by Rahab. Boaz begat Obed by Ruth. Obed begat Jesse. And Jesse had King David. One of 3 women that are mentioned in the genealogy of Jesus. But in the 2nd chapter of Joshua, the first lesson that we learn from Rahab is that here was a woman who is a wonderful example of faith. First of all, I would suggest to you that she is a wonderful example of faith because, number one, she has faith in Jehovah God. She has faith in the God of heaven and earth. In fact, in the 11th chapter, again, she says, as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Neither there remain any more courage in anyone because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. She believes in the one true living God. I think it's interesting that she is not the only Gentile to express such faith. I'm reminded in the book of Daniel of a couple of examples. First of all, in Daniel the 3rd chapter, and verse 28 beginning, Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian king. It says that Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him. And they have frustrated the king's word and yielded their bodies, that they should not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore I make a decree that any people, nation, or language which speaks amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made an ash heap, because there is no other God who can deliver like this God." And in the 6th chapter of Daniel, the riots. In the 6th chapter of Daniel, and beginning with verse 26, says, "I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom men must tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God and steadfast forever. His kingdom is the one which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall endure to the end. For he delivers and rescues, and he works signs and wonders in heaven on earth, who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions." This woman remarkably believes in Jehovah God, the God of heaven and earth. The Hebrew writer made this statement: "By faith it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe, number one, that He is, and that He is the rewarder of those who diligently seek after Him." But not only does she believe in God, but she believes in His unseen promises. In fact, again, in the 2nd chapter, first of all, back up in verse 9, it said that she said to the men, "I know that the Lord has given you the land, and that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you." I know God has given you the land. God is going to fulfill the promise that He had given to the fathers. I know He's giving you this land. And furthermore, she sees potential here. And thus in desperation, in verse 12, she says, I beg you, swear to me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that you will show kindness to my father's house and give me a true token and spare my father, my mother, my brothers, and my sisters and all that they have and deliver our lives from death. She believes that God will fulfill His promises and that she believes that God can have mercy upon her and her household. Question. Do you really believe the promise of God? You know, in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, I love the statement that is made by the Hebrew writer in chapter 11, beginning in the 13th verse. When he talks about the faith of the patriarchs and the words and the verbs that he uses to describe their faith. They all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. I begin with the 13th verse. Were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they came out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared for them a city. I question, is that your sentiment? Are you embracing and seeking and desiring for God ultimately to fulfill this wonderful promise? And by faith, Moses, in the 11th chapter, would refuse all the pleasures of Egypt. By faith, the Hebrew writer says in verse 27 that he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. For he endured as seeing him who was invisible. This woman believes in the unseen promises of God. This woman not only believes in the unseen promises of God, but she has faith in God's people. She is entrusting her family to these two men who have come in as spies. And thus she brought them and she hides them on the roof. And she makes a covenant with them, an agreement with them. She makes a request. When you come and conquer the city, my prayer is that you will spare me and spare my father's household. Now, I think there's maybe a side lesson for us, brethren. Brother Truex said a few weeks ago, we are the representation as the church. We are the representation of God in our world, God's people. We are the body of Christ. And I would suggest to you that when we fail to do what God wants us to do, that we give occasion for the enemies of God to blaspheme. We are the only Bible the careless fool will read. We are the sinner's gospel. We are the scoffer's creed. We are letters that are being read by others. This woman, she believes not only in God and His unseen promises, but she has faith in God's people. And furthermore, not only does she have faith in God's people, but her faith is based upon hearing. She had heard the testimony, had considered it. She says in the 10th verse, for we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Neither there remained any more courage in anyone because of you, for the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. The Bible says that faith comes by hearing the Word of God, Romans 10:17. And the 20th chapter of John tells us why he wrote this wonderful gospel and story of the life of Jesus in the 20th chapter of John and beginning with verse 30. In John chapter 20 and in the 30th verse, and truly did Jesus many other signs in the presence of His disciples which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name. John says, I have given you sufficient testimony to cause you to believe in Jesus. and thus to believe in Him, and thus then to have eternal life. God's Word is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. God's Word is powerful. You know, go back to the statement that Moses, that God made to Moses, what is that in your hand? And he said, a rod. I would ask you the question, what is it in your hand? It is the Word of God that has the power and the ability to change lives, can change your life, as well as change the lives of others. Thus, she considered the testimony. She heard the testimony, and thus, she said, our hearts melted. It reminds me of the statement made in Acts, the second chapter. In Acts 2:36, Peter said, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this same Jesus whom you have crucified, Lord and Christ. And when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? This woman's faith is remarkable. She's a highly unlikely candidate. She's a heathen. She's not a Jew. She has no parental instruction in the ways of God except idolatry. And yet I would suggest to you that sometimes outwardly church moral people may be further from obedience than sometimes the disreputable. In fact, I think Jesus made that illustration in the 21st chapter of Matthew. In Matthew chapter 21 and beginning with verse 28. Matthew chapter 21 and beginning with verse 28. Jesus said, but what do you think? A man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, son, go work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not, but afterward he regretted and went. Then he came to the second and said, likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir, but he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father? They said to him, the first. Jesus said to them, assuredly, I say to you that tax collectors and harlots enter the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But tax collectors and harlots believed him, and when you saw it, you did not afterward relent and believe. Thus we have a wonderful example of a woman in desperation who is seeking to receive the salvation that comes from God. Thus her faith, by her faith, she sought salvation. She desires to be saved. She is asking, please spare me, my father's house, my mother, my brothers, my sisters, and all they have, and deliver our lives from death. It reminds me of examples in the New Testament. It reminds me of a thief on the cross that said to Jesus, remember me when you come in your kingdom. It reminds me of that man of short stature that is mentioned in Luke the 19th chapter. His name was Zacchaeus, who climbed up in a tree to see Jesus because he saw all the possibility that Jesus had. It reminds me of the 16th chapter of Acts in the 30th verse when there was a Philippian jailer who said, what must I do to be saved? It is a point of desperation and hopelessness. It is a realization that before God we are undone. It is a willingness to yield everything to the one, the only one, who has any possibility of relief. And thus in desperation, this woman is saying, please, spare my father and my mother and my brothers and my sisters. Deliver our lives from death. But not only do we find this woman a great example of faith, but she is a great example of obedience. I go back to the two passages that we looked at a minute ago. First of all, in Hebrews 11:31, by faith the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. And again in the book of James, the second chapter, the 26th verse, where it says, likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? The fact is that Rahab had certain terms of pardon and terms of condition. In fact, the terms of pardon and condition are listed in the second chapter of Joshua. And basically they are this. Number one, she was to bind that scarlet cord in the window. Number two, she was to bring all of her family into that house, home, into her home. And number three, she was not to tell others about the spies that had come in to the city of Jericho. And by faith, she kept that covenant and agreement. And because she kept that covenant, by the grace of God, she was delivered and spared from God's judgment upon the city of Jericho. And I would suggest to you today that we also have certain terms of pardon, do we not? First of all, we understand that in Christ there is no condemnation. But for who? Well, of course, first of all, for those who believe in Jesus. And for those who, based upon that faith, are willing to yield their life to God. We call it repentance. Basically, it means a change of mind that brings about a change of action. It is the determination to no longer live for self, but now to live for God. When that faith would cause us to confess Jesus as Lord, and to confess that He is the Christ, the Son of God, and when that faith would cause us to obey God in the simple act of water baptism, of being immersed in water for the remission of sins. Acts 22:16. And why do you tarry? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And when by faith, after that baptism, we make a determination that to the best of our ability, we're going to strive to walk according to God's law and to follow Him all the days of our life. Now, there have been some that have made a great deal out of the red cord that hung in the window. I'm not sure that there is any significance to that. But I do know one thing, that when I think of red, I think of the blood of Jesus. That makes our salvation possible. Jesus said, "For this is my blood, the covenant which is shed for many for the remission of sins." Jesus died on the cross so that we could be forgiven. But the blood of Jesus is offered only to those who obey Him. And though He was a son, yet learned the obedience by the things which He suffered. And having been perfected, He became the author of eternal salvation to all those who obey Him. And so in this woman we find an unlikely subject. She's a harlot. She's a heathen. She's a liar. And yet she heard and obeyed God. And because she heard and obeyed God, she was rewarded. The end result is mentioned in Joshua the 6th chapter, the 25th verse. And Joshua spared Rahab the harlot, her father's household, and all that she had. And so she dwells in Israel to this day because she hid the messengers whom Joshua sent out to spy out Jericho. And anyone in the world that will believe and obey Jesus can be redeemed from sin. Anyone. Maybe there's someone here today. Maybe you understand the terms of pardon. You recognize the desperation of the moment. You understand that before God, without the grace of God and without the blood of Jesus, that you are undone before Him. Maybe today you're willing to yield in obedience to Him to become His child. If that be your need, if we can help you in any way and assist you, we certainly would invite you to come and we stand and sing the song collectively.
Zion's blood, sweetly.